Well, my name's Jose Soto. It wasn't my night to speak tonight, but I just, me and Lyle just talked. I'm not going to be here next week because I'll be out of town driving. So I was supposed to speak next week. So I didn't really have a word, but I just thought I'll share my testimony. So I'm always willing to give that anytime. So, but I was raised in born and raised here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I was raised in a basically like a Christian home. Well, my mother was Christian. My father was a truck driver, Spanish band player, so he always was on the road. He wasn't home much at all. So my mother basically raised me. And I was influenced by older peers and cousins and family members, Dominguez, Luna, Soto, Scassianos, anybody like that here in Fort Wayne. So my aunts, my fathers, my cousins, everybody did time, federal time, state time. It's all I knew since I was a child, so... By the time I was in fifth grade, I was already wearing certain colors. I see my older cousin wear certain colors, throwing up certain signs. So by sixth grade, I was already following that path. So sixth to eighth grade, I was just involved with the streets and started just going down a path of destruction. But I continued that path till about 18. I got incarcerated in juvie. They gave me 5 months. I got my GED in there. And they let me out in 3 months. But when I came home, I turned 18 in there. I came home, and it was a new era. And that's when, like, crack cocaine and stuff like that was around. So my cousin started introducing me to that. It's like, this is the way we're doing things now. So, but that led to a lot more violence and darkness and just robbing and stealing. I carried a firearm since I was, like, 14, all the way until I got incarcerated. So that was from about 18 to 26, just involved with the streets and criminal activity daily. I dropped out of middle school. I didn't go to high school. I went to high school for like ninth grade, but I really didn't go much at all. I just kept being involved with the streets, dropped out about 10th grade. But at the age of 26, that's when things start changing. It's funny that growing up, moved out of my mother's house. I had like 3 cars, a big house, jacuzzi, all that. TV, all that, and I would look in the mirror, you know, and I would ask my cousins, you know, how was it in the pen, you know, they were like, Joselito, man, just be who you are, you're going to be good, you're going to know somebody from Fort Wayne, you know, we know, I was like, cool, all right, so I would look in the mirror, you know, at my home, and I'd just be like that, because I already knew where I was headed, you know, this is just something that my family does, they go in, they come out, young ones, old ones, and we just repeat the cycle. I believe now people call it like a generational curse. So I was like visioning it to come to pass. Like it was just a matter of time, you know, that this was going to happen. So at the age of 26, I caught my first case. I had a firearm and I had cocaine. And the state picked it up. The state dropped it. So I paid a little bit of money, or quite a bit of money, to get bonded out. And I went to court Monday and it was like... They dropped it. So I talked to Harold Myers. I was like, what's going on? He's like, the feds are going to pick it up because you had a firearm. So it's going to turn to a federal case. He's like, we don't know when, but it's going to turn to a federal case. So I was like, well, I'm not going to run. You know, I had people that that I know were involved with like bounty hunters and stuff like that. They was like, I'll give you a new ID. You know what I mean? You go to Texas, like, you know, trying to get me to go a different route. But I was like, nah, I got to face it. You know what I mean? I mean, it is what it is. I'll just come home and start all over. Just, you know, so I'm over here prepping up illegally, you know, like giving my business to my little cousins and other people. And during that time, I always went to church ever since a child. I was a Catholic with my mother, so she made me go to church since I was a kid, forced. And so by the time I was 18, even when I moved out, it became religion. So I just started going to church with my family. I would go to church every weekend. I don't recall nothing that the pastor ever said, though. I never paid attention. I always told myself, I'll never give myself to God. Like, that's for old people. I was like, I'm living my life. This is who I am. This is who I'm meant to be. I'm going to die this way. This is what it is. And never thought ever I would give myself to the Lord. But I went to church one Sunday. So I was out on, they dropped the case. So I wasn't out on bond. I was just free till the feds was going to pick it up. And not about 5 months in, I went to church again, as usual. I don't know what he said, but within my heart, just my hand went up and to give your life to the Lord. And I remember in my heart was saying, like, game over. Like, myself or God or just someone was just like, game over. But it was really odd because I didn't go in there preparing it. My mind was on nothing about giving myself to God. And it just happened. You know, it just happened. And I gave myself to God. And my children's mother, her mom was like, after we went out to eat, she was like, "That's good. You gave yourself to God." And I was like, I thought he said every head bowed, every eye closed. How'd you see that? So I got offended. You know what I mean? I was like, I thought, you know, how do you know? She was like, "Oh, I kind of felt it." I was like, "Oh, okay." Like, you know, I didn't want nobody to know. I wanted to keep it, you know. I thought a Christian was like, just like kind of like weak, like love and that type. And I wasn't used to that because we lived in a dark, cold world. You know, there wasn't no love out there at all in the streets. So I gave myself to God, and the pastor said, "I'm going to send somebody to talk to you." One of the mentors or disciples. I was like, all right. So he came over. He came over with this book, and he started me off at the book of John. He came to my house. He started reading it with me, and he said, "I want you to read the book of John." So I went outside about a week later. I started reading it. And I started, for the first time ever, I started getting a little emotional. I didn't understand. I was like, why am I kind of like feeling this way? Like, it don't make sense. You know, what's going on with these words? But in the scripture, it says that the word of God is living and powerful. And it's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it pierces even to your soul. So I believe that's what was happening in my life at that moment, which I didn't know the word at that moment. But looking back, I see that what was taking place in my life. And then about 2 weeks later, the guy was supposed to come back and give me the word. And I was at the gym, and I came out. And it's funny because I was looking around because we were involved with some other stuff that had some kind of people looking for us or whatnot. So I was keeping my eye out when I came out the gym. I didn't see nobody, but when I got to that truck, the feds just, I don't know where they came out, the cars or wherever, but they were all over the place. Anyways, I got in, went to the county jail. And when I went in there, I was in there like a day or so, and I was drawn back to the word, like finish basically where you left off. And I started reading it, and instantly it just started transforming my life like a mirror. So I'm like looking like, oh, I'm dirty here, here, here. So in Luke, I believe, you guys want to go to Luke 6, let me see, maybe 36 or 46. Chapter 6, try 46. It's about building a house, I believe. Yeah, you want to read that for me, Toby?
I don't have my glasses.
Okay. Brother Law, you feel like reading that? A little short story right here. 646 till this, that little chapter there, till 49, I believe.
Okay, 646 says, "Now why call you me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's where I'm at?
Yeah.
Okay. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I shall shew you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat bitterly upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat bitterly, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great."
So that scripture came to life as I was reading it when I went to the county jail and started picking this word up. And basically I felt like God was telling me that, Jose, you built your whole life on sand, trying to build your whole house up. And I did, you know, I had 3 cars, house, all that money, and it all came crashing down, everything. So I lost everything. Money, $20,000 went to Harold Myers, just all my money. By the time I came home, I had nothing, no cars, no old school cars, nothing, no children, mother. Family broken, everything. But this word of God was telling me that. He was like, see what happens when you build upon your own self and your own strength. You're not built on something solid. So he was telling me during that time there, in the beginning of my walk, he was like, I'm going to build you up the way you're supposed to be built up. And we're going to have to destroy you. You know, I'm going to have to break everything down and rebuild you piece by piece on something that's called a rock, and which is Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that's when my transformation started, right there in the county jail. start reading the word. He started building me up. I got baptized in Allen County, my third month there. And I had a long tail, so everybody knew me from the streets, Joselito with the tail. And the day I got baptized, I cut it off, and I became a new creation. You know, old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So like Lyle said, that's part of a baptism. When an inward change has taken place, and you show it in front of people, that this is who I am now. I'm not ashamed. You know, I lay down my old ways and my old life, and I become a new creation in God. So that was June 21st in 2008. I got baptized, and I continued my walk. I started doing Bible study there, calling for prayer circle. I just got really ingrained with the Word of God. And Psalms 119, I believe 9, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his ways?" He said, "By taking heed to the Word of God." Yeah. So that helps you to cleanse you, and that's what was happening in my life. He starts purifying me through His Word. So I continued to read it. I got sentenced. I was in the county for like 10 and a half months. Went to federal court. I was facing 10 years minimum, but they had mercy. I believe God had mercy. You know, He's very compassionate. And they gave me 5 years federal probation and 5 years federal time. So I didn't have to do the complete 10 like I was facing. And so I got that. I went to West Virginia Morgantown. I was very fortunate to have God with me throughout this whole experience, because I continued to read the Word of God throughout the four and a half years. I just read. I had Bible study every day. I surrounded with people like you guys, just good men and women who wanted change in their life. And I just continued to read and sharpen my sword and tell myself, this is training. I was like, I'm in training. So when I get out these doors and I go back, that's when the real fight comes. That's when the devil is going to be everywhere and temptation is going to be everywhere. So I need to have the sword. It's good to have faith, you know, but God gave us the Word of God, which is a sword, for a reason, to fight. He wants us to fight, you know, good soldiers to fight back. And my mentor and y'all general and our Lord and Savior, He's number one in what He do. Even when the enemy approached Him, He came with the Word of God. Yeah. So this is very important to read it and to memorize it, you know, because my teacher told me when I was in Morgantown over there in the federal prison, he actually grabbed his Bible and he threw it. And I kind of was like, he loved that Bible. And he was in Bible study. He was trying to make a point to me. And he threw it on the floor. He said, "You know what, Jose?" Because I only could remember one scripture. I was like, "I don't know how y'all do that. Like, I only got one." And one time he threw that word down like with aggression. And I was like, and he was like, you can't go running to that every time. He said, you can't run to that Bible every time. He said, you need to have it ready right here and right here. He said, I challenge you. So he was like, "What next time we have this Bible study," he said, "you don't come back with that one scripture no more that you know." But that turned my whole walk upside down. You know, I ended up memorizing over 100 scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs. I started memorizing one a day because I was like, man, if I could have one a day, I can always have the good word for the day. So I memorized like, it's 31. It's 31. Last one is a virtuous woman. So I remember one a day, and I had a word for every day. And then I challenged myself. I was like, I'm going to remember three a day. So that jumped my scripture and my mental to 90-something, just in the book of Proverbs. But all that could be done, you know, with God. You know, God is very powerful, and without Him, we could do nothing. So we always got to remember that you got to stay connected to the source. So we're like the branches. The branch bear fruit, apples and all that. That's what we are. But the branch cannot do nothing on its own. It has to be connected to the root, to the power. So if we fall away and thinking we're going to do something on our own strength, it's not going to happen. Your house will crumble. You know, you try to build your life by yourself. It might live for a minute, you know, but at the end, you're going to fall, and you're going to fall hard. So you always got to stay connected to be to the tree, to the vine, to continue to bear fruit. So I always stay connected. You know, daily I read my word. I've been doing it since the penitentiary, and I do it continuing now because I know how important this is. A lot of people, when you ask people, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, I got a job. I'm doing good." It's always financial. It's always outward things. But in life, the world got it backwards, because it's spiritual must come first. What is the profit of man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? So you have, the spiritual has to be first, and I believe physical and financials last. But the world looks at it different. They always talk about, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great. I got a car. I got this." It's always financial, but really we need to build each other up spiritually. This must come first. You must have your soul saved at the end of the day, because tomorrow's not promised. So I continued to read that word. I got challenged. I kept preparing myself to come home. And what was on my heart today is, what is that? Where is that at? With man, things seem impossible. With God, all things are possible. That is going to be in Matthew, I believe, 19:26. You guys want to go there real quick? I believe it's chapter 19, verse 26. And if you guys would like, you guys could highlight that right there. It's a very powerful scripture that I share with a lot of people, as well as myself. This is one that I definitely remember and will recommend you to remember. In verse 26, it says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So I'm going to share a little story about that scripture. So when I was in the feds, I would talk to stockbrokers and different people that own banks. There's some high dollar people in the federal prison, high dollars, judges, lawyers, all that. It's not like state. So I would talk to them. They were like, you know, Jose, we're just going to be real with you, okay? There's not really that much jobs out there. You know, we know people in our city. There's college kids having struggle. You know, we just got through a recession at that time, they said, so don't get your hopes up. Basically, they were saying, so I believe like they were trying to create fear and worry and doubt. That's the power of the enemy right there, I want to tell y'all. But what you do is, that's where you have that scripture, you have to be ready. So once they told me all this, and they were speaking facts, you know, they were men that had facts. Look, this is the statistics. There's no jobs, like, you know. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, with man, things seem impossible. I said, but you know what? With God, all things are possible. And they looked at me. And they just shake their head, like telling me, you crazy, man. But you have to believe that. You have to believe it. And I want to share that happened with me. And I came home. I went to work release. And they were like, the work release counselor, same thing. He was like, hey, we got about 30 people in here looking for jobs. So, because I'm asking to go home. I was like, when can I go home? I'm going to see my family. You know, in the back of my mind, my daughter's birthday coming up. She's turning 8 years old on a Saturday. I just got home. And I was like, how can I get there? They're like, you need to hold a job for 3 days. And I was fortunate to get one, like within 2 days. I became a dishwasher at La Steca. I worked there 3 days and I got my first home pass on my daughter's birthday. It was the best. She was like, it's the best ever. I came home on that Saturday on her birthday on March 17th. That was the most beautiful moment and almost in my life, other than having her and my son. It was a very blessing. I believe that, you know, God worked it all together for the good, you know. So it worked out, and I continued to move forward after that. Being a dishwasher, I started working at Master Spa at like 8:50, and then I just continued, like, no, there's more out there, you know. Jesus said that I've come that you may have life, and life in abundant, you know, like the kingdom of God is like here, is within you, you know. So all things are possible, you know. What man thinks seem impossible, even with like with Eric or me, Jose, I'm like, that ain't no way that's gonna happen. With man, with yourself, things seem impossible. But with God, you have to remember that all things are possible. And throughout the word of God, he always says, remember, 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 remember. Go back, remember. They said, where are we going to get food today? Where he would ask them, you know, you guys got food? Where? No, we don't know. He's like, you don't remember what I did last time? He said, we have more than enough. You don't remember? And even the Old Testament, he would tell, he's like, you know, when you guys start building all your homes and all that, he's like, remember me. Because we tend as people to forget. So we always got to remember that all things are possible. And I believe when they went out to the Red Sea, that looked hopeless. They were getting chased by the enemy. They looked at God like, now what? Now it's definitely over, game over now. There is no, we've been running for how long? It's over. You know, in their mind. See, with man, things seem impossible. But with God, all things are. He can open up the sea if he wants to. This is the almighty God that we serve. He knows every hair on everybody's head in here. He knows what you're thinking, where your heart is, everything, your past, your future. This spirit is very powerful. So we should never limit him in our life, because in one day, in one moment, anything can change for the good. You might not think you could change, or it might be hopeless, or I've been drinking for this long, I've been an addict for this long, I've been a gangster for this, I've been running the streets 26 years, I never thought I could change. And that's why I'm so passionate with him, because he did it for me. He touched my heart, and one day in a little small city, 401, he came, put his hand on me, and changed my whole life. He literally transformed me. And that's why I'm a witness. That's why I'm able to share this with you guys, that with me and with y'all, some things, they don't look good. But never count them out. You know, his time is like ours. His thoughts are not like ours. He says that. He said, my ways and my thoughts are nothing like you. You know, you think your little 100 years, that's nothing. You know, that's just like a vapor, just a smoke to me, in and out. So it's always in time. There's time and seasons for everything in everybody's life. Time to be born, time to die, time to weep, time to laugh, time to tear down, time to build up. Time's for everything. We don't never know what God's timing is, though, because his ways are not like our ways. But don't ever give up hope, you know. Hang on to this scripture and what I'm telling you guys, these little stories, that with man, even with yourself, things might seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And you have to convince and continue to tell yourself that. Coach yourself. When hard time comes, you got to have this word of God ready. You cannot come running. That's why I recommend that you guys highlight this. And I challenge you guys to remember this. You don't have to remember exactly where it's at. I don't really care about that. Jesus didn't quote that in Matthew, but he did say it was written. That's good enough for me. You can say that. It is written. What man things seem impossible, boy, God, all things are possible. You guys must have this word. You guys must have this word ready upon your heart and mind. Especially if you guys don't have no one to call or anybody to talk to, you need to coach yourself. Because the natural thing to do is speak things that are negative and of worry and doubt and fear. But Jesus said that I've given you authority to trample over scorpion and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. I've given you this authority. So we must walk in that authority and use it. It's ours. It's already been given, but we have to walk in it and we have to remember who we are. And only through that is by reading the word. So to have faith, you have to read the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. So you have to have that. It's a must to have that sword ready. So after I came home, to finish up this story, worked at Master Spot 850. I knew there was more. They were like, oh, a lot of people were going to Fleetwood. I don't know if anybody heard of that. So they started off like $14.50. Jumped up to like $17 an hour. My father planted a seed in my mind, said, I used to own a trucking company. He was like, if you ever want to do that, I'll teach you everything I know. He said, I got an old truck been broke down. You save up about $8,000, we'll get your authority up and everything. And I prayed about it. I was like, that's what I want to do. And I got my CDL license. And even in that process, people were like, that knew me in that line at Fleet was like, You can't do that. You're a federal inmate. You got a federal charge, you know. You got a violent charge. You can't become a business owner, have a CDL license. You can't do that. So they're planting that. They need to probably know if I could or not. They just want the enemy trying to plant that in me. But with God, all things are possible. I got my CDL license, opened up my own trucking company. I moved from like one truck to four trucks and trailers. This continues to prevail. I named that company Prevail Transport, and that's from Revelations 5:5. That says the Lion of Judah is worthy. You know, he has prevailed. So we always have to remember that he's always on top of everything. So I opened that up during my drive on the road, which I continue to do. I had a vision about God and fitness, because I always worked out, always inspired kids, and just something I did from prison to up to now. And that's when that vision came to me to come out with my own brand. So that's what this represents. It's called Blue Line Athletics. And what I do is to build up people with God first and fitness second. And blue in the Old Testament, he told his chosen people to make tassels on the corner of their garments. In the Old Testament, he said, make it the color blue. He said that way to the Jews, they still, I believe, still have this little tassel with blue or purple on it. But it tells them to remember all God's ways. So that's what blue is symbolic for. It's always to remember God's way. And they got other things that are symbolic. They wear things to remember God's ways. But blue was one of them, a tassel. So that's where I got the word blue from, to always remember God's ways. And then always to remember who you are and who dwells within you. And that's the lion out of a tribe called Judah. So that's where a blue lion comes from. So I want God, and I ask God, you know, to give me wisdom to plant seeds in people's heart through Blue Line Athletics, you know, with the young people, old people, no matter who they are, where I can continue to encourage them and build them up spiritually. So that's my goal, and that's what I continue to do to this day. I'm also a mentor here. So I'm always available to talk. Anybody wants to talk to me about anything, ask me any kind of questions about my faith or whatever I might know, I'm open to share, as well as Lau and other mentors here. That's what we do. And then Brother Lau, I walk with him in 10-Point Coalition. Basically, we speak the good news to the young men on the south side of town, certain areas, lifting them up, creating job opportunities, and being a mentor and a role model out there for them too, trying to slow down violence and redirect lives of the youth on that side. So I continue to my journey, continue to walk in God's ways and read his word. So that's what I got for you guys today. Just wanted to give y'all hope and encouragement. All things are possible.